There are a surprising amount of haunted islands in the world, but Italian Swear Pavelia is the most haunted of them all. This strikingly beautiful but devastatingly abandoned island is a short trip from Venice, but it's not the kind of place you want to head on your next vacation. With a sordid history filled with death, abuse, war, this island is the final resting place for more than an estimated 160,000 people. Welcome back to the Lady Dicks podcast. I am your host, Tay, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrea. Today, we are packing our bags and heading to the land of pasta and wine to dictect the history of Pavelia Island. Oh, I suck. Go ahead.
Hey guys, Andrea here. We're glad you didn't ghost us. Per usual, before we get to our story today, we have to go into some housekeeping matters. This podcast is 100% made for adults, so we'd highly recommend that you forego listening with the kids around. We talk about some pretty gruesome topics, and our language isn't always the best. We also mix paranormal and crime stories with a little bit of humor, which isn't everyone's taste, so if you're not a fan, we are not the podcast for you.
The Lady Dicks is, of course, an independent podcast. We work really hard to put out quality content, but it takes a lot of time, a little bit of cash. So if you want to support us, there are a few ways you can do it. You can go to theladydicks.com/support and use our links to shop. You can purchase our newly released Wadio. Oh my God, I think I did that last time too. It's an audio walking tour. My brain works so much faster. Or my mouth? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay, it's an audio walking tour of Hollywood Boulevard. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. This is a mess. It's Hollywood Boulevard is the place. It's a street in Los Angeles, California. And we partnered with Trivia Tours, and we're pretty stoked about that. So if you... if you're in Los Angeles, because you do probably want to be there. I guess you could just listen to the audio of it if you wanted to. But if you're there, it will like kind of tell you where to go and stuff. So that's cool. You can come hang out with us, sort of. And you can go to Patreon, where we just started dropping extra content on a more regular basis. So we just dropped Highcroft Manor, which is part of our like non-intended Vancouver series. Just got a lot of content out of Vancouver. Anyway.
Hey. If it works.
That's true.
Go with it. And I don't know. I was going to say, who doesn't love Vancouver? I'm sure there are some people who don't.
I like Vancouver. But... Vancouver's cool. I've only been the once, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just went that when I was in doing my master's degree, I went to Vancouver for a weekend to visit Matt.
Yeah, when you went to the island.
Yeah. But that was the only time I went.
I did not realize that was your one and only time there.
Yeah.
But you've loved it ever since.
I have. I think it's because the ocean is there. And it's more like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I really love Victoria and I'd probably go like live out in Victoria. But I like Vancouver because, you know, I hate to drive. So if I can be in a city that has good transit, it's my like preference.
Yeah.
She says from the middle of fucking nowhere.
It's always good to be attached to the mainland, in my opinion.
Yeah. Unless a zombie attack breaks out, then you don't want to be attached to the mainland.
Yeah, but I feel like Vancouver Island is, it's so close to the mainland that I don't think it's going to be safe during the zombie apocalypse.
You know what happened? I'm correcting. People are like, what the fuck are you guys laughing about? I'm correcting a bunch of grammar on the script because I just realized. So I use like Grammarly, which is fine. But sometimes when I reopen like a big document, like our scripts are like, well, this one's not that big. It's 6 pages long. Anyway, when I reopen it, it doesn't, it it's like, this text is really big. Do you want to scan it? And I always skip pressing scan because I'm like, fuck off, Grammarly. I'm busy. Anyway, so sorry, we're laughing here randomly and nothing cool is happening.
Oh, I think we're just maybe both deliriously tired as well.
That's true. My dog's also like gagging himself with his bone. I'm just kidding, guys. Uh-oh. He's not. He's just making gagging noises because he's a pug. Anyway, okay, let's get this show on the Rizzo'd.
Let's talk about Pavilia Island.
Pavilia.
We are about to get into some seriously dark history on Pavilia Island that's lasted for centuries, but it hasn't always been a ghost-infested place made primarily of human ashes and the screams of those left behind. It actually started out as quite the charming place. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it's okay. Sassy Tay was took over the script last night. She was making stuff up. I mean, she wasn't making stuff up. That's stuff that exists in the script. It's all good.
All right. The written records of Pavilia Island date back to 421, where it was noted as being a flourishing economic center with a growing population until the War of Chioggia.
I think so.
Which was a conflict between Genoa and Venice. That in. And it's all downhill from here.
Like literally so bad. It does not get better. That was the height of this episode.
And not downhill in the sense that you're going to be coasting.
Yeah, no. We're going to be like crashing.
And burning.
Yeah. There is lots of burning.
I really have no doubt about that. I feel like, you know, these stories always have a lot of burning.
Especially the ones.
Volcanoes.
It dates back to 421, which means there's no volcano on this. But it dates back to 421. Oh, which reminds me, we should add, what's that? That town that was like covered by a volcano. It's Italian too, or was part of the Roman Empire. Pompeii. Mm-hmm. Pompeii?
Right. Yeah, yes.
Should add that. There are ghosts there for sure. I looked it up once.
You think?
Anyway, okay, side note, we'll add that to the list.
Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were like burned to death by like hot molten lava. I would definitely think there's ghosts. And angry ones too.
Like really fucking pissed off ones.
Yes. But back to Pavilia Island. The island was quickly evacuated to Venice in 1378 at the beginning of the war, and by 1381 the war was over, but the island was left devastated. While a few visitors were allowed to return home, there wasn't much to return to. The island was then abandoned for the next 200 years until in 1645 it opened up as a quarantine outpost to control the transit of ships in the lagoon. The idea was to separate visiting merchants from the people of Venice until authorities were sure they were infected by illness, a concern that's going to make a ton of sense in a few moments. The magic number for the merchants aboard ships was 40 days, after which, assuming they showed no signs of illness, they were welcome into the city. Kind of sounds like what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So for 40 days, so it's much longer.
I know. So really, like, why are we even complaining? Oh, I'm not going to say that. I'm not asking for stronger restrictions.
No.
But also, I will shut up. However, back to our story, their experience was much more favorable to those that came after.
So the most well-known use for Pavilia Island dates back to the bubonic plague. Yay! When it was used as a quarantine zone to separate the sick from the healthy. I actually tried to look into like what the bubonic plague was, but like on page one, I was disgusted because there's like blood that like spills out of your eyes and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to pass on this shit.
Oh, so isn't that kind of like, what's that disease that liquefies your organs?
Oh, God. There's a few of them.
It was a problem, like, a few years ago.
A disease that liquefies your organs that was a problem a few years ago?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I would Google it, but I honestly don't want to see pictures. And I know they'll come up because people are disgusting.
Like, I know this, though. Like, it's totally, if you said it, I would be like, damn it.
A few years ago. Okay, I'm going to do it. Guys, liquefies your insides? Oh, fuck. Ebola! Oh my god! Of course, the Ebola virus.
Thank you! Thank you!
They actually might have been part... I don't know that much about the bubonic plague. They might have been, like, part of the same, like, what do you call it? Like, I don't know, disease like, family?
Yeah, well, like, how line COVID of diseases. Is part of, like, the COVID family. Like, the common cold is a COVID virus. So maybe yeah. like Ebola and like whatever virus that was causing the bubonic plague are based out of the same.
Well, I think actually kind of the thing is, well, it doesn't like they didn't eradicate it. So it actually the bubonic plague or the black plague, in case people have not heard the term bubonic, it's just the black plague. And they they haven't eradicated it, so like 1 to 3,000 cases. This I did Google, still exists today. But today they treat it with like antibiotics and whatever. So I think it's like curable today. I did ask my mom about TB the other day. You know how we were talking about TB with at Waverly Hills, because I was like, it's yes. like curable, and she said, yeah, but it's like still really fucking painful. To get TB, it's like not great. So I'm pretty sure the Black Death is also in that that kind of thing. In any case, it was not sexy. And in the 1700s, the Black Death was a real hot item that you definitely didn't want. It was spreading across the world incredibly fast. Can you imagine if this was like a thing that they didn't know existed in 2021? Because it was spreading across the world fast in like the 1700s. So we'd all be dead. But it was infecting people and animals alike. And I read that it was a particularly nasty bugger in that you could go to bed perfectly healthy and you would just never wake up because you would die overnight of the Black Plague.
Which is not super shitty for like the loved ones you leave behind.
Can you imagine if you were like sleeping next to bed, like your husband, and he's like, not that either of us have one of those, but you know what I mean? And you're like, not oh, these shit. Days
I don't.
You like wake up and like you see his like eye sockets have like blood dripping out of them. You're like, oh God. I think, yeah, I would be traumatized. It would be awful.
You think? I would be traumatized if my spouse or partner was just like dead.
Although I have to say to that if I...
Let alone having blood dripping out of their eye sockets.
Oh, that's true. But I feel like, I mean, at least if they like die in their sleep, you know they like pass peacefully. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's like, honestly, I hope that when I go, that's the way I go.
Exactly. So you're not like in some immense amount of pain. The thing about the Black Plague is if I did have it, that's the way I'd want to go. I wouldn't want to live with my insides liquefying for a great period of time, even on a place like Pavalia Island, which is beautiful. Anyway, okay, we'll get back to this. So they wouldn't wake up. And it wasn't until that plague hit Venice. So we talked about like the merchant ships and stuff. The bubonic plague existed before the 1700s, I think, but it was like a big thing in the 1700s. It flared up twice in history. They got rid of it and then it flared up again. Anyway, this is not an episode on the Black Plague, although we probably could do one if we really wanted to, but I don't want to Google that shit. But they like, so they had like the merchant ships were coming in and they just didn't want them to have any illness to begin with so they could come infected. And then when the Black Plague came, that was like a really big thing. But it wasn't until the plague hit Venice and killed their head of state at the time. Oh, who is, I did Google this and now I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to go with Doge Giovanni Mocenigo.
I think when there's two C's together like that, they make like a ch.
Mocenigo. That could be a thing.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, we're going to go with that. It took me 10 minutes to pronounce it, but whatever. So when he died, the idea of a plague island started to like float around. It seems like a little barbaric to us, although maybe not so much because of some of the stories that I've read. But Pavelia wasn't the only island used for the plague quarantine at the time. The nearby, Lazaretto Vecchio?
Vecchio?
Yeah, maybe.
Vecchio or Vecchio, yeah.
Anyway, it's a nearby island, also near Venice, which is often referred to as an open-air cemetery. He was a popular choice for those vacationing with the plague. And saw an estimated 500 plague deaths per day, obviously at the height of the plague.
What does that mean by, like, open air, like they just left the bodies on top of the ground?
Basically what they were doing with these quarantine zones is like Pavelia as well. They would just like, you would just go to the island and they'd be like, bye. And there's like, it's not like there's doctors and organization and stuff like that. You just are like shipped off to this island. And in the case of Pavelia, there was like old buildings and stuff there, but there's no like housing or like, I mean, it's the 1700s, I was going to say electricity, but definitely not. And then people just, like, died on the street. And the bodies were just, like, left
there. Were we talking about this in Waverly?
Well, Waverly was kind of, well, Waverly with TV, like, they did just ship people off
to
Waverly.
Yeah, but they sent people to, like, places to die.
Well, that's what Waverly was. It was, like, a TV clinic, and they were like, hopefully you survive, yeah. But probably not. This is the same case, right. Except for that if you got the Black Death, you were going to die. And they knew that.
So they were just like, see ya, get out of here.
Well, and so that's the thing. So if you got sent, this is like the next part of the thing that we're going to talk about. But if you get sent to the Black Plague Island in the middle of the pandemic, even if you were just like a hint of being sick, people would just ship you there. Like, they just had to think you were sick and you were like shipped there. So even if you were like, dude, I am not sick, I have like a cold or whatever, no, my nose is bloody, it's fine, they were like shipping you off to the island. So people would get there who were like maybe not sick,
they were healthy,
yeah, and then they would catch the plague because they were living on an island of a bunch of people with the plague on it. And then there was like bodies like collapsing in the street. I'm going like, okay, here we go. So let's stop that thought for a second, because this is in the next paragraph, so let's say it right. So Pavelia became its own horror show of a plague island, with bodies of Black Death victims simply being left on the street to decompose. So that's like decomposing bodies with the Black Plague dying when you're like arrived and you're like healthy because, you know, grandma thought that you had a cold or whatever. So you get shipped to the island and then you're automatic, like, you're definitely gonna die. There was no one came back from the island. There's like zero chance. They were like, no, if you're on the island, you stay on the island. So everyone on the island died. And so it's estimated that over 160,000 people died on the island during the bubonic plague. And there's evidence of mass graves, along with the still remaining human ashes and bones can be found on the island.
So essentially it was their final destination. If you're sent to the island, it's your final destination.
You were sent to the island to literally die. They would not allow you to come back. Even if you were like, I'm super healthy. If you were like, I don't know, completely untouchable by the Black Plague and you just like lived through all of it, they would still keep you on the island. Like, you have been infected by the Black Plague, you can't come over. And so it's actually, I've read this in a few different places, but many sources say that over 50% of the dirt beneath the surface of Pavelia Island is actually made up of human ashes.
That's nice.
So in addition, so I guess healthy people went there too, at least, like, obviously someone had to, like, stack the bodies in the mass grave sites that they built there. We're going to assume that they were in some sort of quarantine suit or whatever. But so in addition to the fun goings on of the bubonic plague that happened at like party Pavelia Island, the period of history, or this period of island history, also saw executions of prisoners. Many were killed via drowning. I do not know how you execute someone via drowning. I've literally never heard of that before, but it sounds like a fucking nightmare.
It sounds like the worst possible way to go.
like I guess I watch a lot of TV shows, and you know how they have those, like, I'm thinking of like that one where Chris Pine has a bowl cut. He plays like a Scottish dude. It's a Netflix film. Oh my god, Chris Pine bowl cut. That's what I'm gonna search.
Oh god.
The bowl cut is not relevant to
that
it.
Is not a good visual at all.
Oh, it doesn't even come up. Okay, what's the Chris Pine Scottish movie? He has the worst Scottish accent in it too. Okay. Outlaw King. Oh my god, it was really bad. There's like this.
Is Chris Pine good at doing any accents?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I've heard him do any other accents, but he's definitely not good at a Scottish accent. I can tell you that with 150% guarantee. And I am no expert on accents by any means. This is a really bad film. Anyway, there's this like scene where he had like his like wife is like captured by the bad dudes or whatever, and I think it's this movie. And they like put her on a cage over like the water. So I assume like that's how you do like a water drowning. You just like lower the cage and then they drown. Anyway, that's a really gross.
Or you hold someone's head under the water.
That sounds like a super like high contact thing. I feel like they wouldn't put that much effort into it. It's also, there's not a lot of pageantry. And I find like in the 1700s and like earlier, 15 to 1700s, like they were like super, there was like a show when they did an execution. It was like a full on production. I feel like that just wouldn't have the impact, you know?
Well, it's quite torturous.
That's true. I don't know. I feel like that's more of like a mob scene, 2020 mob
maybe,
scene
movie.
Give me all the information, Joe.
I don't think that mafia like drown people.
No,
to
I
death.
Don't think that they do either. I don't know. I don't know why I said mob scene. Mafia is like the one kill to like the head, and then with like the penny on the thing or whatever, and the wound, you know.
Yeah.
Signature mob killing. Anyway, okay, we are so off topic.
Well. We're going to talk about some dictators now.
Yay! It's a short, it's just a short little excerpt on him.
And no pun intended. Or maybe it is.
Maybe
but
it is.
After the plague came and went, Pavilia Island became a makeshift armory for Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yay!
Yay!
Short little men.
This would have been sometime in the late 1700s or early 1800s. He had a 12th century church destroyed, which is a real bummer. Yeah, that's not really very cool. And converted its bell tower into a lighthouse. Unfortunately for him, his enemies eventually found out about a secret cache of weapons, and the island soon turned into a battleground. In the early 20th century, 1922 to be exact, Pavilia Island was repurposed and reopened as a psychiatric hospital. That sounds legit.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings that were currently there were refitted to house elderly psychiatric patients, and most likely additional ones were added.
I think they did actually build like a full-on hospital, because there's a hospital there today. I mean, like a totally decrepit one. But
yeah.
It exists today, and I'm pretty sure it didn't exist before. I think the bubonic plague, they were just like, have fun. Bye.
Pretty much.
You can eat whatever's on the island currently.
That's how cannibalism starts.
That is 100% a recipe for cannibalism.
Again, the aim of the island was to isolate people. It was said that the moment one was diagnosed with a mental illness, they were taken to Pavilia, and there was no possibility of them being able to redeem or rehabilitate themselves.
I feel like this is a common thread. Once you go to Pavilia Island, you may not come back.
Well, and I feel like any place that's kind of like, you know, soiled with like a really dark history is where they build places like this.
Yeah. Also, as a side note, I mean, not related to Pavilia Island, but once you are in a psychiatric like facility, it's really hard to get out. Not that I have any experience, just for the record. But there was a journalist that did it one time, I think. As part of like an wasn't this a thing that happened?
I don't know, because there's a lot of stories like that. So,
journalist.
But that sounds legit. Are you looking something up right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking to see if there was like an experiment. Oh, yeah. Nellie Bly.
Oh, excuse me. Wasn't she a Canadian?
Yeah, woman? That's a, no, 1887 like a, American investigative journalist Nellie Bly.
Oh, I thought she was like a pioneer for women's rights in Canada for some reason.
She, I don't know why. I mean, she could have been like big in I mean, it probably had a big impact on Canada as well. So we did a thing.
We definitely did a thing.
We made an audio ghost walking tour with our favorite audio tour app, Tripvia Tours.
Tripvia makes these really cool self-guided audio tours that you can listen to while you walk or drive, depending on the tour. So it's like you're on a group guided tour, like you'd take on vacation, but you're by yourself.
Kind of like a vacation for your mind.
Definitely a vacation for your mind. Our first tour was just released, and we're taking you on a historical, ghost-filled walking tour down Hollywood Boulevard.
So if you're in Los Angeles and you're itching to hang out with your favorite hashtag dick squad, download the app, get the tour, and head down to Hollywood Boulevard, and we can all go for a little stroll through history.
Here's how you get your own copy of the tour.
Head to the Apple or Google Play App Store and type in Tripvia. That's Tripvia, in case you can't spell, and download the app.
When it's downloaded, you can hop into the app and purchase the tour. Every tour purchased helps make it so that we can bring you more awesome content and future ghost tours.
Once you've finished the tour, make sure to jump on your favorite social media app and let us know how much fun it is. And don't forget to tag @TripviaTours on Facebook and Twitter, or @Trivia_tours on Instagram, so they know you loved it too.
Where do you think we should go next?
I've got a few ideas.
I mean, did you ever read or like watch Girl Interrupted? That was like, I think she checked herself into the mental institution. It was quite disturbing, and it's a true story. And then there's The Bell Jar, which was like basically Sylvia Plath's autobiography, which we all know did not end well.
I don't know. But The Bell Jar?
Yeah. It's written about a young girl in like the, I think it's in the 60s. And basically she has this like dream of a life kind of set out ahead of her. And, you know, she goes to New York on this sort of like program for young girls.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're taking like secretarial school, but it's quite, I don't know, like her whole life is kind of laid out. And then, you know, like she's dating these sort of, you know, jockey guys, and she basically loses her mind and tries to kill herself and ends up in a mental institution. Mm-hmm. And it's a fictional story, but I think it is.
It says it's semi-autobiographical. She just changed the names and places and
stuff. Yeah, like it is. Yeah, and I mean, Sylvia Plath stuck her head in a gas oven.
Oh, right, yes, I remember. Okay,
and
yeah.
And killed herself.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. It's a really feel-good
story. Yeah, so number one on the reading list, kids.
Do you know, though, I must say, and this is, we need to get back on track, but I read that book when I was in my early 20s, and I hated it. And I reread it as a book club book, like, this last summer, and I was so angry that it had been chosen as a selection. Yeah. I was like, I do not want to read this piece of shit. And I reread it, and I actually liked it a lot more than the first time I had read it.
Yeah.
And like, I enjoyed it more than I would enjoy other books from that genre and like era. I don't really like a classic kind of.
I also do think like reader. Books like that you have to be in the mood for, because some books like that I can't read, and I read kind of everything.
No, I 100 million percent agree with you. Like books, it doesn't even matter if it's a book like that or any book. Depending on your frame of mind, it can be a totally different book.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but anyway.
Anyway.
I feel like we need to get back to our story here.
Oh, right. We're in Italy, guys.
Yes. On beautiful but dark Pavilia Island.
Yay.
So I'm not 100% sure where I am, but I think it was reported that many of the patients of the psychiatric hospital saw ghosts from the island's plague days and were often kept up at night by ghostly screams slicing through the spooky island air. Because of the isolation and privacy the island afforded, rumors abounded that disreputable scientists and doctors went there to simply do as they pleased. Heinous experiments and abuse ran rampant. These rumors are fueled further in the modern-day mythology of the island due to the legend of a particularly mad doctor who performed sadistic, evil experiments. He was a big believer that a lobotomy was the ultimate solution to any form of mental illness and performed many of them, usually on unwilling victims, using hammers, chisels, and drills without anesthesia or consideration of sanitation. He also apparently took some of his victims to the bell tower where he would do some weird unnamed shit.
Jesus yeah, I couldn't Christ. Figure out what it was. I do have to say, like, don't get me wrong, this guy sounds like a fucking disgusting piece of evil shit. However, there was a lot of doctors in the early 1900s that believed that lobotomies were the ultimate solution for any form of mental illness.
Well, I think going back to the bell jar, there was a lot of that. There was shock therapy and like lobotomies going on. Like it's not really that much in the distant past that they stopped doing lobotomies.
No, like it's I don't know anything about lobotomies and when they stopped it, but my great grandfather.
Do they still do lobotomies now? I feel like they don't, but I also feel like maybe they do and they don't talk about it.
I want to say that they do. And I don't know where I know that from, but I do know, like, shock therapy was not that long ago. I don't think they do a lot of shock therapy nowadays. Kind of hope they don't do any of it.
I shouldn't be laughing. It's just stuff that makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I feel the same way. Like I'm, like, that awkward, uncomfortable, I have to laugh about things, which is why this is a comedy podcast. my great-grandfather had shock therapy after World War II.
Oh, my God. And to like deal with his PTSD, to deal with which PTSD. They would have called shell shock.
Yeah, which they did call shell shock at the time. So he went in, like as soon as he came to Canada after World War II and got and was checked into a mental facility, and then a part of his treatment was shock treatment, which they say, I obviously didn't know him beforehand. I was obviously not alive during World War II, but it changed his personality significantly. I know that's so weird. I feel like I should
and
be.
And did it help him?
No.
Or did he become angrier?
He became much angrier. He was a very, when he died, he was a very angry man.
That's so sad. I mean, even now, PTSD is something that, like, I think they're kind of learning how to deal with it, but it's still something that is so, like, hugely just crippling. And
yeah, well, he, like, and I don't know if it was a result of the PTSD or the shock therapy that came because of it or a combination of the two, but he was very paranoid when he died, and he was, like, a massive alcoholic. I don't think I can remember a time where I saw him without a drink in his hand.
Well, I feel like most, like so many veterans become
for
alcoholics
sure.
or addicts.
Yeah, self-medication.
Because they just can't deal. Well, I mean, look at, like, so many people who live, like, on the street they're veterans because they just can't deal with, you know, like, a normal life in society anymore. And there's not, sadly, not the kind of support that there needs to be for those people.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. In any case, this took an even darker turn. However, this guy was not that kind of normal average doctor. He was much worse.
Yes. As the story goes, the doctor was tormented by ghosts, or his experiments drove him mad. So he took himself up to the top of the bell tower and jumped off, or he might have been pushed.
Yeah, I'm going to say he was probably pushed.
That's a possibility, but clearly the guy was quite unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Another version of this story tells that he was taken alive by his lobotomized patients and bricked up inside the wall of the bell tower, or perhaps just put there after his death.
That last one is just not true, though.
Well, if it was, it would be definitely another angry ghost.
Yeah, but, for sure.
That sounds more like some mafia kind of shit there. sorry, my voice is going.
Mine is too.
Regardless of how he got there, a nurse who witnessed the fall said that he survived it, but was then killed by a mysterious fog that choked him.
And that was definitely some ghost shit.
you think? It's said that on particularly silent nights, you can still hear the bell tolling across the bay, despite the fact that it was removed years ago.
Yeah, because that bell tower was removed by Napoleon, who changed it from a bell tower into a lighthouse.
A lookout?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That.
The
but you
psychiatric said. The psychiatric hospital at Pavalia Island shut down permanently in 1969, and the island was quickly abandoned. But in recent years, it's drawn considerable interest from paranormal researchers and ghost enthusiasts.
Considering the amount of death the island has seen throughout the centuries, it's no surprise that ghost hunters say that it's a hotbed of paranormal activity. In 2009, Ghost Adventure dedicated an episode to the island, and they're not the only ones. They're just the only ones I listed here. It seems that ghostly rumors started when the island became a hospital, with patient reports of apparitions and unearthly sounds, obviously from victims of the bubonic plague. And while it might have been only the patients at first, soon guests and visitors also started seeing and hearing them too. It is absolutely forbidden to go to the island today. We will not be sharing any, what do you call it, travel reviews, because you actually cannot go. You need permission to go, and we're not going to
encourage.
Yeah, we're not going to encourage you guys. Italian law is no joke. Like,
no, I feel like you might be executed possibly by drowning if you broke that rule.
Ask, what is it, Amanda Knox, how forgiving Italian law is.
What happened to her?
She's in America.
She's free, right?
She runs a podcast. Yeah. She runs a true crime podcast.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to that.
I don't remember what it's called, though. I have zero idea what it's called. But she does, or she was, I don't know if it was a limited series podcast or if it's like a regular thing, but at some point, not that long ago, she was running a true crime podcast. And I think she wrote a book, too.
I think she did. And there's some, I think there's a show about her right now on one of the Netflix or Prime or something.
Netflix had one, and then I think Prime had a different one or something. The Netflix one was pretty good. I think the Netflix one she was involved in, the documentary. Hmm. Like, one of them she's involved in and one she wasn't. There is a book, actually, because I've read the book. I don't remember what it's called, though. but in the Netflix one, she's the main, I was going to say character, but she's like the main interviewed person.
So it's a documentary style?
Yeah, it was really good, though. I enjoyed it.
And it's not on Netflix anymore?
I think it is. It's been on there for years.
I know I've seen it come up somewhere recently. Like a show about her. I don't know, though.
Anyway, yeah, she's running a podcast, but like she'll tell you all about how you should definitely not fuck with the Italians when it comes to law. Anyway, they have very different legal systems is basically the reason why. In any case, there are obviously visitors, illegal thrill-seeking visitors do report hearing voices in the island, screams and other strange noises. Paranormal researchers that visit the island, many of which, by the way, have permission to do so, have recorded an odd electric magnetic field within the perimeter of the entire island, despite the fact that there's no electrical source on the island. With thousands of souls trapped on the island, some residents say that you can hear their screams well off the island, like from the mainland. Those that venture onto the island, which is reportedly currently home to vineyards. So obviously someone goes to the island to do something work-related. Anyway, people that have ventured onto the island report a sensation of being watched. Others say that they are scratched or pushed by an invisible force and see shadows on the wall. There are a few particularly rambunctious entities that have pushed visitors into walls or chased them down the corridors. So you've been warned. Many visitors to the island leave shaken. Most of them don't return. And in a completely unverified story.
Don't return from the island?
No,
they don't return the island. Back to the island.
To the island. They don't return. Yeah, it is called, I think somewhere it's called the Island of Death or something. It's called like the Island of Death and the Island of Ghosts. There's a bunch of nicknames for this island. But they do come back often, like as in home. But they never go back to the island. And anyways, in a totally unverified story that I read, a family purchased the island right after the hospital closed and they intended on building a private holiday home there. Not sure if that's where I would put it, but hey,
nope.
I mean, the island is said to be super beautiful. So I guess if you're not like really superstitious and whatever, then fuck it, do it.
I'm not really superstitious, but I wouldn't mess with all of that bad energy and dark past either.
Yeah, well, it would be even more funny if they were trying to like turn the old psychiatric hospital into their house. But anyway, I don't know that much about that. I didn't see their development plans. Anyway, they arrived and they were super excited on the first day, but within a few hours they fled and would never return, and then obviously sold the island. Apparently, they faced so much paranormal activity, including their daughter's face being, quote, nearly ripped off by an angry resident entity. So, good experience all around. I should add here that the island, like, the ownership of the island has, like, changed a lot throughout history. Like, most people don't, like, people have tried to develop on it or whatever, and people just get scared away and they sell the island. So, I don't know who owns it now. Obviously, someone with vineyards. Years later, a group of friends went.
Well, you know, all those dead bodies would probably like really
well,
help.
I was reading that grapes grow and well. Someone was like, someone had like comment on like some one of the writers of the articles was like, and so I guess grapes really like ashes. And I was like, no, well, yeah, ashes actually like, I mean, this is going to sound so bad. Don't ask me. I don't know this, but like burnt humans do make for good, like. Like
fertilizing
material, but also so do like dead decomposing bodies or places where a bunch of decomposed bodies have decomposed over the years and left like really, really nutrient heavy soil. So yeah, the grapes are probably.
I think
doing
that's kind of
fantastic.
Common knowledge, though.
Well, I would think
I
so.
Think
except for this writer
you,
was like
sadistic or anything.
This writer was like making it sound like it's so weird that. The bodies would do good. I don't know. Like, that's not weird at all. That actually makes so much sense to me. That's exactly. If I had like an island, not that I'm going to have an island that a bunch of dead people, or I guess people died on. But if I had an island that I was like, no one will buy this and a lot of people died on it, what should I do with it? 100% farming of some sort. 100%.
It's called science.
It's called. What you do with an island of dead bodies. In any case, so years after that family tried to purchase the island and did not do the smart thing of opening a farming center or something on it, a group of friends went to the island. Obviously, they were there illegally, and they reported a, quote, heavy sense of dread before being told by a deep voice to, quote, leave immediately and do not return. They complied and left, didn't return. And then in 2016, a group of Americans from Colorado had to be rescued at night by firefighters. It was reported that they were found in a state of shock and panic, having heard and experienced paranormal entities. And in one case, psychics brought to the island described the energy as malignant, with a presence of angry spirits lingering, and refused to return. So, like, not a lot of great reports coming out of this island.
No. And, like, why would there be? Like, bad shit happened there. So,
it's not a pleasant place.
Whoever thinks that this is a good idea to build a home or go and visit, think again. Use your brain.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Since Pavelia is nicknamed the Island of Ghosts, it's no surprise that the 19-acre island that serves as a mass burial ground to over 160,000 people is supposed to be one of the most haunted in the world. Today, on the island, you'll find rotting abandoned buildings, mass burial ground, and mint-conditioned furniture like old beds and baths. Just kidding. It's definitely all rotting. Along with possible body burning containers. I don't know what those look like, but I saw an article where someone went there and they were like, I think these are body burning containers. And I was like, sure. You obviously don't know how to burn a body. Anyway, most locals will not set foot onto the island or even fish nearby. So if you do decide to visit, even though it's super not cool to do so and the Lady Dicks highly recommend that you don't, you are on your own. This whole story gets a lot creepier when we tell you that human bones still wash up on the shores to this day, or so says the people in the area.
Lovely.
I'm like, I don't know where the human bones are washing from, though.
Well, that's what I was wondering, but I don't know. I mean, those are the reports. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there to find out for myself.
Maybe those are the remains of the people that were drowned.
It's
the remains of the criminals that were drowned. It's probably not possible. I don't think there was that many people drowned on the island.
That podcast is called The Truth About Crime.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Which I will definitely be listening to. And the documentary on Netflix is just called Amanda Knox.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yep, that sounds correct. It's probably about her.
What?
I know, it's so weird.
I know. I, you know, like, I need to look more into that case, though, because
it makes me so mad, because I'll read something and I'll be like, this is stuff.
So you don't, you're not in the group of people who think she's guilty.
No, I don't think she's guilty. Sorry. No.
It took you a while.
But it when you watch it, it depends on who made the documentary that you're like, eh.
Of course. Of course. That's fair. No comment.
Whether you think she is or isn't?
No, I don't know, because I don't really, like, I remember hearing about the case, but I have never looked that much into it.
There was, like, there's stuff that makes me think that she was, and there's stuff that makes me think that she wasn't. But to be quite honest with you, they know who did it, and it wasn't Amanda Knox. So, yeah, but well, it depends on, like, fair. How you look at, and it's not... And I was going to say the evidence, but it's not the evidence. It's how you look at everything involving the case. And a lot of it is not evidence that they use. So it's just like, oh my goodness, she was not crying. So she obviously did it. I'm like, fuck you. You know, here's the thing though, because if I, and I say that because I know that if like someone close to me died a very violent death and I was like being blamed for it, there's zero chance I would react like how a normal person would react, because I don't like stuff like that makes me very uncomfortable. And I use humor at like, I can't deliver bad news. I do it with like a smile on my face. It's not like, it's just how I react to it. So if something, and I can guarantee you that in a situation that something like that actually happened, I would still react in the same way. That's my body's like natural way to deal with situations. So I wouldn't be bawling, or, you know what I mean? Like, I would be, and I think I also like watched the documentary, and she does like a lot of talking and stuff, obviously, because she's in it and it's about her. But she, like, her personality reminded me a lot of my personality. And so I was like, okay, now I get why some of the stuff that I was like, oh my goodness, she totally did it, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, makes a lot more sense to me now. That I'm like an adult and understand that.
Like 10 years ago when it was going on, like when she was on trial.
Yeah.
Just from the limited amount of stuff I heard, like it did kind of sound like she was guilty.
Oh, for sure. They like, and actually I think that the Italian courts landed on her being guilty, but she had already been acquitted like once or twice, and she was back in the States, and the U.S. was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
She'll just stay here. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting case. It's not a case we'll ever do on this podcast because she's still alive and we don't usually do stuff that we usually only do stuff with like lots of history on it. With one exception, because there's an episode upcoming for Patreon that's different, but that's just because it's my own curiosity.
That's fair. And, you know, we can always branch out later if that's something.
Yeah, the thing about it is I tend to not like pick new stuff because everyone else has done it already. And so I think the like more history stuff. Well, and I mean, we talk mostly about ghosts, so there's no ghosts in Mananox. Although there's a few stuff. Actually, there's a lot of our episodes that don't deal with ghosts. But they're like, everyone else is doing them too. So, and I don't really want to. You know, if you want to go listen to a brand new case or something that happened in the last like 25 years, I can recommend a really good podcast or like six that will have a good episode on it. We don't need to do the same thing.
No.
It's really where my thoughts go. So if we do a newer case or if we do something, we did the Elisa Lam and the Cecil Hotel, although we did it before the Cecil Hotel, like 3 years before the Cecil Hotel documentaries came out. And that's because of the hotel itself. Like, so occasionally stuff like that will happen where we'll do something that is popular for a specific reason. I do also want to do like Jack the Ripper. Although I have to say that Jack the Ripper is like really well known, but not covered by a lot of podcasts and stuff. And I think it's because it is really old.
Well, yeah, that was Jack the Ripper was like 1800s,
1700s? Diffusia, get
a. Yeah, he was like the first, like.
Yeah.
Like, historical. Like.
Well, like. Like, in well history, known.
Like, the first, like, recorded.
Yeah, serial killer, for sure. And, like, a few other, like, H.H. Holmes will do at some point. H.H. Holmes is just a really big research project for me, so I don't want to do it right now. But, like, we do bigger stuff like this. But something like a Mananox probably wouldn't get done on our podcast just because it's, like, new, doesn't have, like, a super historical edge to it, and isn't something that, well, was something that of particular interest to me, like, you know, when it was happening. But I was there, like, well, I wasn't there when it happened, just to clarify. We found out the killer and it's me. I watched the story unfold while it was happening, and so that interest has kind of died with me personally. It's a good story though. If you're interested, I would recommend the Netflix documentary. Actually, I would also recommend the book, and I don't remember what the book is called.
I'm sure I can find it.
But I would recommend that. And no, I did listen to her podcast interested. Too. At least once or twice I've listened to like one or two episodes and it was pretty good. It's a little bit more serious though than, you know, I am. So
yeah, it's not like be like the stuff that's like us, like that has some comedy in it.
Comedy and light stuff, like true crime obsessed and I was going to say crime and sports, but I don't listen to crime and sports.
Crime and sports is, I know they say it's totally different than small town murder, but to be honest,
it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. It's totally the same thing. It's just specifically about like guys in sports that are involved
small
in
town
sports,
murder. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I like totally blanked on that, and then you said it, and then I still guys, blanked on it.
And it's like sort of the same concept, I believe, because I haven't listened to crime and sports as much either, but It's similar and it's funny. Like, it's, if you like those guys, like, it's a good podcast.
I actually have to say I like those guys, although I haven't listened to them lately because this is turning into a podcast about podcasts. I haven't listened to them lately because how meta. Their episodes are so long and now I can't they do are. Stuff that long anymore. I used to listen to them all day at work, though, all day long.
I know. I don't know why I haven't listened to them for so long, because they're so funny.
They are so really funny. Anyway,
we are so let's talk about top. Visiting Pavilia Island and how you are not allowed to.
Yeah, please don't go there.
Which we've already mentioned. It has been officially closed for many years. Some sources say that the Italian government actually banned visitors from the island because of the increasingly disturbing paranormal accounts that were coming from the place. Regardless of why it was closed, heading there puts you at risk from the Italian authorities, and Italian law is no joke.
Like we
said. Their legal system is not built the same as the Canadian or American systems, so this is your official warning not to go, and their estate law is no joke either.
Yeah, like, there's no part
the
of
the government law. Takes 1/3 of your estate. Like,
all
1/3 goes to this.
Oh, 1/3. Okay. I heard 100 and I was like, whoa.
No, I said 1/3. 1/3 goes to the spouse, 1/3 goes to the children, and the other 1/3 goes to the
government. They're the ones that have that, like, strict. You don't get to decide if your mistress gets anything because she fucking doesn't.
No, but the mistress will still fight. And be a real see you next Tuesday. I know this firsthand because of some family stuff.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Anyway, we don't need to get into that. regardless of why it was closed, heading there puts you at risk from the Italian authorities. Okay, we already talked about that.
Yeah, you did that. We're good.
Yeah, sorry. So... for those genuinely interested in Pavilia Island tours.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Your best bet is to attend a boat tour around the island. Yes, you can see images of the island online. And yes, people have gone there and written blog posts. But for legality's sake, this is all we can recommend.
The official recommendation from the Lady Digs. To all of the
don't
lawyers
go.
Out there is we say no, but you can take a boat around it if you want.
Hell no. Hell no, we won't go to Pavilia Island.
Hell no, we won't go. Okay, we're done.
There appear to be, that's okay, two tours that we can find. The most recommended is the city tours. We've read a few places that they'll actually take you on the island, but we are not officially recommending that for legal purposes. The second you can find at classicboatsvenice.com.
Yay. That was like 30 minutes of talk about a haunted island and 20 minutes talk about everything else in our lives related to podcasts and lobotomies. Anyway, shock treatment, I guess. So that's it for this week. That's our lovely little story. Like I said at the beginning, we get no reviews because we do not want you to go there. We want you to stand in Venice and look at the island and be like, oh, cool. Because there's
I'd rather be in Venice anyway.
There's also like cool stuff to do like in Venice. Like there's lots of haunted stuff in Venice and stuff. You don't have to go to this particular island just because you're not supposed to.
I think Italy in general is quite haunted. So.
Yeah, we haven't done a lot of Italy, so we are doing a little bit more Europe. When I get my shit together. We do just a lot of American stuff, mostly because when I find a list, it's like haunted places in America, and I'm like, sure, I'll read through this damn list, and then I just take the ones that are most interesting to me and put them on a list.
Well,
and then
I'm pretty sure that most of Europe is pretty haunted.
Oh, Europe
really
has like way
old.
Cooler haunts than here, and they have so much
more
history
Europe
there.
Is old.
Yeah.
So Canada and this, like, Canada is not old.
Baby.
And the States is, like, a little bit older, but.
But not by much.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so you can find this episode and all of the rest of our episodes on LadyDicks.com, where you can hangsies with us. Actually, we're not going to be there. But we do write the posts and stuff that go up, so that's cool. Find us online at all of our social channels, The Lady Dicks. And we'll be back next week. But if you miss us, you can go to Patreon because there's a fresh new Patreon episode out. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway, that's all from us today.
Oh my god. And do I say the line?
Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
In the meantime, try not to ghost anyone.